Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
What's going on? It's your boy Molly Mall, and I'm this week's guest on the Kicks and Shit Show. Make sure you check it out.
What's good, everybody? We are back. It's your boy Gerard and your girl Gabby, episode 57 of the Kicks and Shit Show. Quick one today.
Wow, we are back with the horns.
Back with the horns.
I like this voiceover treatment that you gave the intro. Kind of a vibe.
Yeah, listen, I do what I can. Speaking of vibes, let's see what I did there.
Gabby, I see what you did there.
You are in the desert streets. So let me know, what's popping out there in those desert streets besides heat?
Well, let me tell you, these are very different streets. I'm sure you can tell by the sexiness of my voice that I'm putting out there. This is not Crazy Sexy Cool Cop Podcast. This is actually the Kicks and Shit Show, folks. But this dry air, your girl isn't used to it. Only the dry air, that's all I'm going to say. Because you know what they say about Vegas, baby. What happens in Vegas? So
stays in Vegas. Now, listen, folks. She's made me privy to maybe 1/100th of the stories that are actually happening in Vegas.
This is how rumors get started, Jerome. Okay? This is how rumors get started. I am a really nice girl. I come from a good family.
Who said you didn't? Nobody said nothing like that. I will say, Gabby may or may not have been partying with a famous DJ. That may or may not have happened. Maybe.
That may or may not be real instead of fake news. But I will say, if you have not experienced the DJ culture in Vegas, something to do at some point in your life, because it's like nowhere else, right? Like, at least not in the U.S. And I think, you know, your girl hasn't been outside in a minute. I'd like to think I can hang, but, you know, first night here, we were supposed to have, like, a low-key kind of night. When that phone rings, you answer the call, you know, and things change, and what a time to be alive. But let me tell you, the biggest culture shock that I think that I have had is being around this many people, and I know I talked about when I was at the playoff games at the Garden. That was an enclosed space. This has been consistent, and, like, I think people don't know how to act. We drove by someone who was, I thought, very might have hurt himself walking down the street on the sidewalk, and then all of a sudden he pulls out flip-flops to put under his head and curls up to take a nap. And I was like, this is where we're at, folks. Or I walked by this man in a beautiful tutu because, you know, what a time to be alive.
Of course.
And it looked like he was on the phone. Oh, no. he was not on the phone. He was just loudly having a conversation with himself that seemed like he was on the phone. Mm. And, you know, like, these are things that normally, especially as a New Yorker, wouldn't really faze me. But, right. like, this is not happening in the streets of Hoboken inside of my apartment. So, and I think the biggest shock was, is it okay to wear a mask? Is it not? I mean, that in itself is a very strange thing, right? Like, I see all these memes online that you're like, oh, you can... The people that you're seeing inside without masks on are vaccinated and liars. You know, because you never really know. Like, no one's asking me for my vax card when I'm going into the hotels or at the pool. So it's been like a weird transition, almost like relearning into society. And let me tell you, people have no spatial awareness anymore. I've been knocked into, walked into. I've even said stuff. And some lady was like, what did I step on? And her daughter goes, you stepped on that woman's foot that was right there. Mom, the one who I said... Watch out for the lady. And I'm like, right, I am a lady.
Watch out for the lady.
it's wild to me. And I feel like that's the biggest adjustment. But it's also very, as someone who loves people watching, and that's one of the best things about Vegas, welcome to the shit show. These feats have been in the streets. I actually was able to wear Jordans at a club, which let me tell you, you know, your girl was very worried that she was going to have to wear heels for an entire night.
And you said, nah, I got this.
Exactly.
See, I like that.
My point is, be you, everybody.
Always.
Be your best self. Wear your J's to the club. You know.
The club.
Enjoy your life. But in terms of Vegas, you know what they say. Yes. So, Gerard, what's going on in the streets?
Well,
for you?
Nothing quite as fascinating as what's happening in Las Vegas. A whole lot of NBA playoffs happening in these streets. You know, it is incredible how the playoffs change on a dime, right? Like, you know. On a Monday, you're like, oh, you're certain about this. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. By the end of the week, that's not what I said, right? It's the complete opposite. And that's one of the things that makes sports so enjoyable, right? Is that it's still the last sort of live action drama that you have no idea how it's going to unfold. You think you do, right? You make these predictions like, oh, we think Team X will beat Team Y because of X, Y, Z. And sure, you might even have reasoned opinions about why that is. But then things happen. And unfortunately, in this season, injuries happen, right? And it's unfortunate, right? But that does often decide title races when you're all going for that one goal ball at the end. And it's been interesting. So I've been busy doing that. And, you know, the playoffs are, of course, devoid of one LeBron James, who is still, of course, making news because his movie, Space Jam 2, due out in July, I think.
Something July, like that. But I thought you were going to talk about a different reason that LeBron has been making news.
Oh,
you know,
for changing his number?
Our man's LeBron, you know, feels some kind of way, which I get it, you know. But I don't want it. I just, like, he's accomplished so much. Why are you gonna make announcements like this now in the middle of the playoffs?
It's fine.
I would love your POV on that one, Gerard. Like,
look, this is... Those of you who know and follow my work on other basketball platforms, this is just LeBron James propaganda season, okay? He's not in the playoffs. It's like, all right, how do I stay relevant in the news? Ah, let me talk about my number change. I'm going back to 6, like when I was a prime player in Miami, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, all right, dude, we get it. All good, man. You're one of the GOATs, no problem. One of the three greatest players of all time, might be the greatest of all time. No need for all this excitement. Like, just none. Anyway, moving on. To why I brought him up in the first place, that cartoon movie's coming out, which of course I will not be seeing. However, there was a collection of clothes, of apparel and sneakers that got released around it, or at least the images were shown online. And you, as a original Space Jam fan, I wanted to know what your thoughts were on the apparel, the sneakers, and especially the Air Force One, the Lola Bunnies. Like, what do you think about all those things that are coming out?
I love the colors and the color usage in the LeBron pair more than I like the Air Force Ones. Okay. I feel like Air Force One's cute. I know it's a generational shoe. Not my favorite of the collection, but, you know, I think they did a really good job with it. It's like a new, fresh take. I love the Toon Squad jersey, of course. I feel like that's a must cop if you know anyone over at Jordan Brand or Nike that will allow you to take a W on this collection. I think this is going to be another hard-to-get-your-hands-on type vibe, but... Mm-hmm. Gerard, I have to say, though, if I invited you to come see Space Jam with me in July, you would politely decline, even if I paid for your ticket, because I'm a gentleman?
I would politely decline, and it wouldn't be about you, spending time with you. It is the principle of the movie. However, as I did say on my Picks and Props gambling show that I do, that's odd on Wednesdays, If, of course, somebody from Warner Brothers or one of the amazing people want to give us premiere passes with some, like, extra stuff, well, by all means, I will then, of course, go to that. And I will happily bring you. But to actually just go...
You would bring me over Jenna?
Well, I mean, then I have to ask for two tickets because then she might get mad.
This is also how rumors get started.
then I have to get two passes. But for us to just go, like, because if that's what, 2 hours? I don't know. Who cares how long the movie is? But it would be, I'd rather spend 2 hours with you not doing that. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's go have
that
dinner. Let's go.
That's the thing you've ever said to me, Gerard.
I know. Don't get used to it.
On the record, folks, you have to spend 2 hours with me.
Hugh, delete that. but yeah, that, you know, whatever. It's whatever.
What do you think of the collection, though?
I will say, I do love how Nike and Jordan Brand have launched all the things around it. I do think that is cool, right? And it's interesting, our guest later on, we're going to ask him about this. I do wonder, you know, how is it that kids nowadays perceive it? Because really it's a cartoon movie, right? And my buddy Jamal Murphy writes The Undefeated. I do a lot of different shows with him. He's taking his sons to see it, and he's already shown them the original Space Jam, so they're like, oh yeah, we definitely want to see this. Dexter, who's got a daughter, she knows LeBron. She's like, oh yeah, Dad, we can go see that LeBron movie. So, you know, but I wonder, because Looney Tunes, like, we know those from, like, when we were young. Like, I feel like...
Of leather shoes, you know, like, that was a vibe for
us. Of course, but they, you know, they're not as omnipresent as they were in kids' culture now as they were back then. So I always wonder, you know, how do kids connect and relate? And really, it's really about the parents. If the parents are nostalgic about it, they show the videos or whatever to the kids. And the kids are like, oh, this is interesting. And that's how they get into it.
I agree. I mean, I'm so excited. I think it's going to be very interesting from a compare and contrast. I feel like we talk about Space Jam way too much.
Are you taking notes? You're gonna have like a whole, I bet you might do a whole segment, like just doing like a review of the movie.
I mean, nothing would make me happy.
Toon Squad, Goon Squad, all sorts of craziness is happening. I don't even know. I don't even know.
The vibe in these Toon Squad streets, Chad. Absolutely.
Toon Squad, what are we even talking about? Oh, my God.
I'm going to give this 5 out of 5 Monstars. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Folks, the puns are already rolling, and the movie ain't even out yet. Let me put it like this. If the movie is on par with those puns, yikes.
Wow, I got a yikes?
Yikes. Yikes. Yeah,
listen. On that note,
folks, stay tuned because coming up next, we do have someone who is a sneaker influencer, connoisseur. He's a content creator in the podcasting space as well. And we really think you're going to enjoy hearing from this young man. So stay tuned. What's good, everybody? We are back. Gabby, we're not alone. We are joined by sneaker connoisseur, Instagram influencer, sneakerhead. All of the above, Jamal Stanton, a.k.a. Molly Mall. Now, before people lose their minds, not that Molly Mall, of the hip-hop production fame. This is sneakerhead Molly Mall. How are you doing, man?
Hashtag real Molly Mall in the building. What's going on?
I wonder if you were like, yo, let me actually get that name, like, for real. How much would it cost? Like, you know, like, you could never use his name ever again, like. If you went to him and was like, look, or if he came to you and was like, nah, you gotta come off that name. If you get, what would he have to offer you money wise? You'd be like, all right, I'll come off this name.
Or sneaker wise.
Oh man, that's a tough question. I don't know. I never even thought of it like that. Like our names are spelled differently.
That's true.
Like, it's
that's
very, true. Very similar. Yeah. Clearly. Yeah. But you know, I've got two A's at the end of mine. He's got one.
That's so. True. That's true. See, that's the differentiator. So that's why
he's like,
he's like, I got it. Don't worry. I'm good. Right. Anyway, man, we're so glad to have you on. You know, I want to start from the beginning. This is where I start with everybody. And, you know, shouts to Brown Sugar. When did you fall in love with sneakers?
Hit it with the Sonal Lathan.
Exactly.
So for me, like, I'm an 80s baby, a 90s kid. So it really just stemmed around basketball. Remember coming up, I was hooping in Grand Hills, Iversons, Stack Houses. Those were the shoes that I was hooping in the most, and you know, cross trainers, Nikes, things of that nature. But I wasn't really collecting. I was wearing my shoes. I was beating them to the ground. You know, still had to scrub J's with a toothbrush. keeping them clean, you know what I'm saying? Because they were hybrid. It's like, all right, these are my school kicks and my ball kicks, my all-purpose. Mm-hmm. So we had to keep them fresh. But that's really the genesis, man. It just all stemmed around basketball and hoops.
I love it. And when you said about using the toothbrush to keep your J's clean, were your parents like how most parents were? Listen, when I buy you this one pair of shoes for X amount of time, this is it. You scuff them up. I'm not buying you a new one in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I kept my kicks in pristine condition even back then. So, like, I had pairs that I would primarily wear for school when those got a little beat up. Then those became, like, the ball kicks. And then, you know, when those were done, you had to discard them. But I tried to have, like, a rotation. There was a method to the madness. Mm-hmm. Every now and then, I remember, like, I got the stack houses and I mm-hmm. wore them to school. Those were supposed to be my school kicks. But then I hooped in them right after. They had a limited shelf life. Let's put it that way. And mom wasn't too happy, and I had to make it work. So
Remember,
they used to have like the that whiteout stuff.
Yep, yep.
The shoe polish and all that stuff. So you got a heavy dose of that. We tried to make those last as long as possible. I was so happy when I was able to get my new pair though.
It's so funny, right? When you're a kid, I mean, you don't even think about it, but man, your shoes get beat to death, right? Because like, obviously as an adult, like you wear all different kinds of shoes, right? Like depending on what your office setting is, what you're doing for work, whatever. But as a kid, you pretty much wore sneakers all 24/7, right? Those joints would get tattered. And in a few months, you'd be like, yeah, these ain't looking so great. You mentioned basketball. What were the first basketball shoes that you were like, yo, these are the ones?
Ooh, I would say the one that really got that emotion on me was Iverson. Like, okay. I absolutely loved Iverson. So I remember him in Georgetown. He had, mm-hmm. you know, the 11s. Yep. He made me like a hybrid Sixers fan. I'm a Knicks fan, okay. But I was like heavy into AI and Stackhouse, UNC. There it is. So like that combination together, like, any and everything that he wore, like, I was on it. I had cornrows back in high school. Like, it was for real. I'm drawing I3s on my notebook.
It was a vibe, right? No, Iverson was such a vibe for so many people. So you mentioned Stackhouse, obviously. You mentioned AI at Georgetown. So, I mean, you had to be into Nikes and Jordans. I mean, that had to be like, you know, you had to look through. So what was the first pair of J's you ever got?
First pair of J's were actually Jordan 1s. Mm. Back when you could just go to the mall and like, oh, I like these. Let me cop these. So,
I mean, can't do that now.
Nah, man. If you tell that story now, people don't even believe you. They're like, no. That's equivalent to walking 15 miles in the snow to go to school, right?
So, uphill both ways.
Exactly. But that was it. Like, it was just a random Saturday at the mall. And I picked up these J's. I was like, all right, cool. Like, I like this. I had a friend that worked at Foot Action, so I became part of that Saturday routine, and she was hooking it up. You know, said I got the employee discount, so I was just getting J after J after J, and shorts. I used to have, like, that was my thing. I'd buy a fresh pair of J's, fresh pair of basketball shorts. So in my closet, I've got way too many shorts and things that don't fit.
I was gonna
say, we're talking about a totally different era. We're talking about like double XL.
I was gonna say, you were a double triple XL.
Oh yeah, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I've got some double X and probably even a triple X somewhere deep dark down in the closet. It was. There was a recent post. They were talking about the inseam. They had like the same Bonaventure shorts that were like down to old boy's knees.
Yeah.
Was it TJ? I forgot who it was.
Yeah.
There was another TJ Ford one. That was like, it was the Bucks, I want to say.
Yes.
And that was like damn near down to his ankles. And they had a Jordan, which was like a little above the knee, and like the Hornacek Stockton joints, but. You know, I was wearing, that was the vibe back then. So they were definitely past knees with extra room to fit another person.
Brother, two people probably.
Yeah, for real. You know, I take those out now. I try to put them on. It's ridiculous. I can fit a family.
Oh, by the way, rep your shirt. Show the people. Look at that, man. Homie got his own personalized.
I see you.
Not for resale. And I'm saying, I don't need JB coming after me or nothing. This is just for personal use. You know what I'm saying? Not for resale, but one of one, exactly.
I like it.
Friends and family joint.
I love it. I mean, so you talk a lot about basketball and growing up in the 90s, but being a Knicks fan, what Knicks inspired you? Because I didn't notice any Knicks players on that list.
Yeah, so, I mean, they didn't really have kicks like that. So you had your Ewings. But for me, it was John Starks. Like, I absolutely love John Starks. Team Lightskin in the building. my mom, who really, she put the ball in my crib. She was a huge UNC fan, a big Knicks fan. She's a Yankee fan. So, like, all my sports fanatics, all of that comes from her. But we were a big Knicks fan. We spent 5 years in Indiana, so we had the whole Pacers rivalry thing going. We went to Market Square Arena, battling Reggie, Mark Jackson, Rick Smits, Davis Brothers, all that. But for me, it was definitely John Starks, NBA Jam. It was Ewing and Starks.
I'm trying to think when I played NBA Jam.
And a little Hubert Davis.
I was like, yeah, shout out to Hubert. I definitely did not ever play with the Knicks. I was like, man, Starks and freaking Patrick Ewing, nah, they whack. You know who's not low key. You know who's high key nice in that game. The Jazz, yo, that Stockton Malone combo was nasty. I'd be like, you know what? Let me go ahead and just use these Jazz because they ain't bad.
Peyton and Kemp was a good combo.
That was another excellent combo. Shout out to the Rain Man. He had some fresh kicks. Yeah, the Rain Man had some dope kicks back in the day. I am loving though the connection with your mom. She was a UNC fan. So as a Knicks fan, how did you reconcile that? Because Jordan would come in that garden and rip your hearts out on the regular, but he was Team UNC. So how'd that all fly?
Listen, I had cousins, uncles, friends, like I'm from Jersey, and it seems like if you're not a Knicks fan, then you're a Bulls fan and a Cowboys fan. You fall into that bucket. And I would argue you never stepped foot in any part of that soil, so I don't understand how you're that kind of fan. But I didn't like Jordan like that. It took a while as I matured and I got an appreciation for his game. I would say kind of a little bit of the turning point was Space Jam. Yeah, listen, that was a bit of a turning point. I went with all my cousins. My uncle was a huge Jordan and Chicago Bulls fan, so was my cousin. So he took everybody to the theater to go see it. So that kind of made him a little bit more human and less of a evil Nick killer. So as he's going against the Sonics and the Jazz to get those last couple chips, I'm more of a Jordan fan at that point.
Okay.
But coming up as a kid, I despise them.
I love it. It's so funny because so many of my friends. So the funny thing about kids is that for the most part, kids are front runners, right? In terms of who they root for when you really actually sit down and figure it out. So my first basketball memory was the 84 finals, right? So I was like, yo, 85 finals, excuse me. So I was like, yo, Lakers, baby, Magic, that was my favorite player. That's my guy. I'm like, no look passes. Yeah, Lakers all the way in. And so that was the team I was a fan of growing up. So, when everybody's talking about Knicks or whatever, I'd be like, man, what you talking about these Knicks? What? I was like, they win championships? I was like, what? I don't understand what this whole squad's about. No, it's the 70s. I mean, nobody on this podcast was alive the last time the Knicks won a championship. Right? That's just,
I had to throw it in there.
Listen, but Gabby, you know what? Real talk. As I said to you, I'm giving your team all the props this year. Listen, the culture has rechanged, has set. Listen, good things are happening. Just don't get greedy now. Good things are happening. Let it build, and it will happen. I do love the fact that you said Space Jam is your favorite movie, and Gabby T. Todd, Gerard's favorite movie. No, it is not. And I will never see that movie ever, nor do I have any plans on seeing Space Jam 2. Are you going to see Space Jam 2?
Probably. Just for nostalgia purposes, to check it out, have something to talk about. It's going to be talked about on my YouTube live show. So my kids are going to want to see it. We've seen Space Jam, the original, many times. So they've seen the commercial. Dad, we want to go see it, all that.
So they're ready.
So definitely check it out.
Does Looney Tunes represent or register with them or not really? When I was a kid, you knew Looney Tunes. Your kids know Looney Tunes like that?
Yeah, to an extent. We watch a lot of old stuff, too. A lot of Scooby-Doo, Tom and Jerry. It's not just all, the new things.
So you indoctrinate them. All right. And that's, I think, what you have to do, right? As a parent, if your kids are going to know that stuff, you have to play it for them. Because they're not going to... Ain't no Looney Tunes on TV right now. Speaking of Space Jam, what'd you think of the Space Jam collection? All the shoes and apparel that came out.
Yeah, that was awesome. I wish I had all of my Space Jam stuff. It might be, in my grandmother's garage somewhere. Hopefully, just preserved in pristine condition. But chances are, none of that stuff is gonna, withstand the test of time. But I loved it. Again, my uncle was obsessed. So for Christmas, he got us all these collector's items. We had the Jordan golf figurine, the three sport, pack, the huge doll where you pull them, to play some basketball, all of that stuff. I think. This time around, I'll put that stuff away for Space Jam 2. If nothing else, I'll grab the Wheaties box and I'll grab all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'll put it in an area where I know it's at and preserve it.
I love it.
I love that. I mean, Gerard knows I have mixed feelings about the new Space Jam for many reasons, one being our man's LeBron, but
your man's LeBron because you hate LeBron James. It's fine. Everybody knows. You can just say it. It's cool.
Like, I mean, it's like everybody knows that you've never seen Space Jam.
And that's and I stand by that, right? Like, now it's just out of spite. I'm never going to see the damn thing. So
that's how I feel about LeBron. Like, I can never think about it. I have to be consistent. Right? I got
to
stick to my moral.
Got to stick to the bit. Exactly.
I totally agree, and I respect that level of pettiness. I'm here for every second of it. But yeah, I mean, I think just the New Jersey, if we can even get it though, right? Like, why don't you, I know we talked about this when I did your show, about the new shopping and how sneaker culture has evolved from the day you can go buy J's in stores. It literally, to your point, it sounds like the Gilded Age. It's like a rumor mill. You know, back in my day, I used to get Jordan 1s in stores. You know, like, do you think anyone's going to be able to get their hands on
like the Roaring 20s. Like, we're like, this is
19. Literally the Roaring 20s.
So if you're referring to the LeBron Space Jams, you'll probably get early access for those. Because that's how the universe works, right? It's like a sick joke with sneakers. Yep, you would get early access for that.
That you don't want.
They sent me the LeBron 1-9s early access, and I was kind of like, no.
Man of my own heart. See, Brian, it's not just me.
But, well, I mean, forget about if you like LeBron or not. It's about the shoe. Like, for me, it doesn't matter about LeBron. I don't think the shoes really look good. That's my whole thing, like, right? Even if it was a player I hated, if you had dope shoes, I'd be like, all right, those look fire, but to me. So I don't want anybody this is not the opinion of the KNS show as a whole or whatever. Me, personally, I do not like the look of LeBron James shoes. Okay.
Any of them?
And none of them.
Wow.
Yeah. That's just me, though.
Even like the 8s, Southeast,
because they're too bulky for me. He is a big, bulky
shoe. Generation? The one?
Not really. No.
See, I like several LeBron models. Like, and I've hooped in them. I've made IDs in the whole nine yards. And I also like Jordan. Like, I go back and forth on my feelings toward LeBron. Like, I love them all the way in Cleveland. Obviously, the decision influenced my decision and opinion on him. So, and at this point, I think I like LeBron more than I admit it. I think I dislike LeBron fans more than anything else. So, like, the moment I start to have this appreciation, I'm like, yeah, go Bron. Some Stan just pulls me back, you know, and then I have to choose violence.
I have to choose violence. I love it. No, but it's true, though, right? And I think that's an interesting topic you bring up, right? And it's somewhat tied to sneaker, right? It is the culture and hype and whatever around whether it be a sneaker item, a player, an event, or whatever. And it's just this need in this culture to be so definitive and exacting about everything in the moment that your opinion can't change or evolve over time. And it's like, yo, that's not how the world works, dummies. Like, I mean, if you were just rooted in one thing the first time you ever saw it, like, you'd be fucked up and wrong about a lot of shit, right? Like, you just would be. Like, you have to allow yourself to be like, maybe I was wrong about X. Like, and I'll be full up and transparent about it. When Bron first came out, I mean, on 100 levels, it was mostly envy, right? Not jealousy, because I could never be an elite 6'8" basketball player, right? It was just jealousy. It's like, who the F was this young ass 18-year-old making all this money, like, right? It was just that. It was just straight hate, right? I was a young man, all part of the hateration. Like, that's what it was strictly and purely about when he first came out. But as a mature adult, and be like, well, this is stupid. Like, this is, and I say this all the time, this is one of the three greatest basketball players who've ever played the game. Might be the greatest player of all time. Like, stop. All that other shit is stupid, right? And so that's where I am. You evolve. And I think, you know, tying it back to what's going on now, I don't know that Twitter and social media and whatever allows for that kind of evolution, right? It's like, nah, you said blah, 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 whatever. And it's just, okay, cool, man. I'm good.
That's true. I mean,
not even that.
You know how I feel about LeBron. It's whenever he says a certain statement or acts a certain way, I'm not going to knock him. I've said this before on our show. Like, when LeBron plays, and I've been fortunate enough to see him live, there is a light from the heavens that shines down on him. Like, there's no cracks in the ceiling in Madison Square Garden, let me tell you. But there was a light, and it's beautiful to watch. And I agree, and I think, you know, social media culture and this kind of shit-talking culture really takes away from that. They're like, oh, man, LeBron, like, look at you talk this big game. Like, look at you, you're out. Like, fuck you. And I'm like, all right, I know – His knees are maybe a lot better than mine, and we're the same age, so I'm not going to hate on him for basically, like, running the league on his own. Just, like, don't fix things sometimes. How about that? Maybe people like you a little bit better.
The extremists bring that out of me. Now I got a debate. I gotta prove you wrong. Now I'm going full MJ Kobe mode.
it is so funny though, right? That is what that it just brings that out. And it's now, Gabby, I do know what you're talking about. The one thing, and I talked to our good friend Jenna about this, shout to the 7 Footers Basketball Podcast. I don't buy into the LeBron James propaganda. That I do not buy into at all. And I know when it's propaganda season, right? He does it all the time. Comes out right before the playoffs. I don't know if I'll ever be 100% ever in my career. It's like, all right, dog, like, I get it, right? Or hashtag James Gang, just a kid from Akron. I'm not supposed to be here. All right, I get it, right? Me personally, that's just because he's in the mythology point of his career now, right? It's all about legacy and making sure that the mythology is, like, ironclad. So he's just, you know, setting it all up, right? To make sure it's bulletproof. And I'm like, yo, you don't got to sell me on that, dog. Like, that's for your acolytes and psycho fans. No. Me? I ain't buying none of that shit. Like, let's just talk about what's happening on the court. You good money. As I said, you are on the Mount Rushmore with two dudes. It's you, it's MJ, and it's Kareem, and that's it. All right? Like, those are the three players who can lay claim to the greatest. Yes. Wow. And I know I know my mom's making that face. And listen, you are a guest here, so I don't want to be disrespectful. I know where you're going, but that man, rest in peace, does not belong in that top three. He just doesn't. And there's no basketball. There's no basketball anything that says he's up there. Nothing. But anyway, continue.
I think we just took a moment of silence right there, Gerard, for that.
Actually, listen, sometimes I got to choose violence too, you know? Like, I got to just keep it 100 sometimes, you know?
The sad truth is Kareem definitely deserves to be up there, but the more we evolve, the less he'll be remembered.
Without question.
True.
I agree with you, Mal. And you know what I think we need to do? We got to stop comparing across eras now. We're at that stage now where the game is so different now than it was. Forget about when Kareem played. It's than it was 15 years ago, much less 40 years ago. So we got to just, eras need to just stop. And it's just like, all right, man, forget all that crap. Like, from this point to this point, these were the dudes. From this point, these were the dudes. Like, because it's just too hard to compare across eras. And that's my TED Talk. Thank you for coming.
I'm going to agree with that, but I'm going to shift it back to sneakers following that one. I'm going to throw in a little comment about, you know, how LeBron changed his number.
Propaganda. You know, all propaganda. Always.
Playoffs, so he had to still be relevant. Anyway, sorry, I got to clear my throat a little bit. Vegas air is, you know, doing me a little bit dirty out here at the dry air. Can't handle it. But bringing it back to sneakers, you have an amazing podcast. I've been fortunate enough to be a guest on your show. Tell us about how that started as part of your overall sneaker journey.
Absolutely. So in 2017, two of my boys, Kev, Buckeye City Soul, and Dan, One-Legged Lister, they started out the podcast, The Monday Midsole. Shortly thereafter, they brought in Marcus, Polos, and Jays, and they had asked me to be a guest. So I just came on and did what we're doing now, just talking about my story, my love for kicks. And we just vibed, we clicked. They asked me to be part of it full time. So we hit the road. I went to like every sneaker con that year, linked up with all these different sneaker personalities so we could have them on the show. Kais, Cousteau, mm-hmm. Easy Buster, Tony DT Wild, Perfect Pair, everybody. So just became like, you know, like you said, a sneaker journey, networking, and putting myself out there and building up the show. It's been a good run. I can't believe, you know, we're going on 4 years here, past 4 years now, shoot. And no, it's great.
I love it, man.
Being able to meet so many people, link with people that, you know, ordinarily maybe you wouldn't have, especially in light of this, the virtual work from home, COVID mm-hmm. pandemic. Like, so.
I love that, man.
All good things.
The part you're talking about is the culture, right, and community and people you meet in and around, which, you know, Gabby and I talk about all the time, like, is, I don't want to say missing, it's still there if you know where to go and who to talk to and where to find it, but the culture and the hype culture has changed so much of that portion of the sneaker game right now. Like, how do you feel about the sneaker game as it stands right now, particularly as it relates to when you got to buy a product. Not when, like, you know, we're fortunate enough to get seated sometimes or whatever. When you got to go on your own and be like, all right, this pair's coming out. I want to get X.
Right. So I think it's two-pronged, right? The sneaker game is at its heights. It's as hot as it's ever been. Like, sneakers are couture. It is everything. It's blended in every part of culture that you can think of. The sneaker culture community, that's at its lowest, right? It's a zero-sum pie right now, which it doesn't have to be, but that's just so happens to be the case, right? Community culture, like, back in the day, I could be like, yo, can you help me out with this pair of kicks, right? And that would be it. You help me, I help you, you know, buy, sell, trade. Mm-hmm. Now it's everyone's a reseller, everything's for profit. You know, it's like, oh, if I hit, yeah, I'll hook you up, but I'm going to upsell it. Like, maybe I'll give you fan price, but I'm still going to beat you over the head. It's very, very seldom. And I'm fortunate. Like, I've got a tight core group that will help one another out, you know, here and there. But for the most part, it's not like what it used to be. Mm. You know, that part is sadly missing.
Yeah, man.
I don't know. I mean, it's tough at home. And I think, you know, I mentioned I'm in Vegas, right? And we've been talking about my team. And they're like, oh, if you stop by the OVO store in Vegas or Urban Necessities, like, let us know. And just even the thought about going back to that, it's like, now that things are opening up again, it's like, what is this new normal and where do we go from here? So how do you see sneaker stores adjusting and adapting to this kind of new peak of sneaker culture and hype?
So you mentioned, like, Urban. Like, I think they stand to do very, very well in this environment because they're the ability to be transactional, right? To have consignment and have so many consigners from all over the country sending them shoes, obviously the foot traffic. JC's one of the homies. We're actually from the same hometown. He's been on the show a few times. Like, what he's built there is just absolutely amazing, right? And the levels to it. So I think that Kith, there are a few other spots that come to mind. Like, they stand to do really, really well as long as this wave continues. The brick and mortar, so you think of Foot Locker, RIP Foot Action, pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Mom and Pop,
yeah,
like, those are the ones that are going to suffer. Their business model is not sustainable in the current environment.
Yeah, man. I mean, and that's sort of that's capitalism, though, right? Like, it literally is this cannibalistic environment where the way you survive is by eating your competition and getting bigger and bigger and bigger, right? That's the way it works. You know, we talked about something last week, and I want to know your thoughts on this. You know, everything we have now pretty much in society, and not just sneakers, whether it be ride sharing or workout, whatever it may be, is a PMPM model, right? Per member per month, subscription based. That is where everything is pretty much right now. And, you know, there's KOX World, who does that, right? The subscription-based model where it's, I think the low end is like maybe $50 a month and the high end is like $400 or $500. And, you know, you get X amount of shoes every month based on styles, whatever. You don't get to keep them. You get to rock them for the month, return them, and then next month you get your new box. Like, what do you think about that model in sneakers?
I think for those who are in it for the fashion, in it for the hype,
mm-hmm.
like, that model works well. Like, for me, I'm not sending anything back. Good luck. You know, my credit card would get hit that very first month. I got something that ain't going back to you. But I've said on our show several times that a subscription model, which locked in a certain tier of sneaker, would be very beneficial to the collector. It would get away with some of the bots and some of the, you know, the BS that goes on, mm-hmm. on weekdays and Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has some legs to stand on. I think the subscription where, you know, you got to send it back for mm-hmm. me personally, mm-hmm. and for, like, the people that I rock with who want to actually keep their shoes, mm-hmm. that's a turnoff.
Yeah.
Not to say it can't work, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because there's people who rent shoes, they rent cars, exotic cars, the whole nine yards. So I think there's a space for it. And I would even be like a silent partner for something like that. But it's not something that I would personally subscribe to.
I think you're right, though, that because there's the floss culture, right? Like, there's plenty of people who want to stunt on Instagram. So they will happily, like, and what's the truth behind it? If I don't know you, I don't actually know if you own any of the things you post up there, nor one do I care, is this the real important part. But you don't care about it. It's just about them getting enough engagements, likes, and whatever they need to get to validate right. whatever it is that they're doing. And it works.
What a time, you guys.
What a time.
People rent wedding dresses, like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? People borrow stuff all the time, so if you build it, they'll come.
You're right about that. I'm with you, though. Like, for me, it's like, if they're kicks that I want them because I want to wear them. I don't want them to have them for, like, 2 weeks and then be like, all right, man, here you go. Like, no, they're for me.
Right.
Oh, man.
Drag it across the lawn so they can take the shoes from me. Like, no, it's not happening.
Oh, man. It's wild. What a time we live in, though, seriously. Anyway, folks, God, we're getting into so many interesting things here with our guy Maul. But stay tuned because coming up next is America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by Another Lane, the premier digital marketplace for dope kicks. And I'm sure he's going to have some special fire for you guys. Stay tuned. What's good, everybody? We are back, and you know what time it is. America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by AnotherLane.com, the premier digital marketplace for dope kicks. You know, guys, I don't know why you're not all already on AnotherLane.com. Get yourselves over there. Talk to our friends, Chad and Adina. I mean, listen, if you really, like, just spend any amount of time, 5 minutes with Chad, a.k.a. Sneaker Galactus, will change your life. That man knows so much about sneakers, it's not even funny. 5 minutes is all you need. Talk for an hour. That's like a master class. You'll learn so much you never thought you even knew about sneakers. Anyway, Maul, this is your segment, my guy. What are you going to show us?
Let's see. Well, first and foremost, shout out to Another Lane. Shout out to Chad and Adina, the homies right there. Mm-hmm. We're going to start with Kobe, since you won the Kobe bash. We're going to start with Kobe's, which, you know, for me, it's really hard to choose. Like, Kobe's are really, in some way, shape, or form, have been a big part of, like, every monumental milestone in my life, all the way down to my kids being born. Coincidentally enough, I rock Kobe's both of those times. But I'm going to go with a classic here. Mm. This is the OG, the Grinch. Kobe Grinch.
Yeah. Gave
everyone Ajita, you know, last Christmas and whatnot. I do have the Pro Tro, but this is the original. Still holding up.
It looks great, man.
So, of course, I had to go with the crimson laces.
Always. And by the way, no, listen, Kobe's a great player. I don't want people to be like, he was nice like that. Don't get it twisted.
You're like, he can't even lace Kareem's sneakers.
See,
like,
oh, wow. You see, I didn't say all that. I didn't say all that. I just said there's levels to it. That's all.
Listen, if Kobe's on that level, I don't want to talk hoops.
we could have a whole other conversation about hoops.
Yeah. Next pair is the Curry 1. Surprise party. So this is a player edition. This is Steph's shoe, his actual shoe. I got looked out on this pair. He wore these during a commercial, and one of the homies from UA looked out for me.
Nice.
So this is not like the release that came out, not the Protro, or rather the retro that came out in China, not the original. These are
samples
with the insoles and everything.
That's
so
dope.
These sit in the case. You know what I'm saying? I can't wear these, obviously, like I said, not my size. Size 12 and a half. So they just sit in the case, you know what I'm saying, on display.
I like it, but though.
If we have to show these off.
That might be the first Curry that we've ever been shown on the show.
Definitely.
Ooh, for real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's the reason you not wear your kicks. I like that. That I can get. That
of course.
I can get
they're yes, not your size and they're a PE. Yes, that's always a good reason to not wear them.
And he wore them. I got a handwritten note and everything. So, like, again, very special pair. Well, since not a lot of people show Curry's, then I'll back up. I'll show it, you know, with another one. We'll go back to back. So another sample pair. This is not released. This is part of the All-Star 2019 in Charlotte.
Yep.
The whole windbreaker. So
coming home for him. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Yeah, insole is glued in pretty well. But if everyone, if they think back to Dell, I think that was at the All-Star game, and he had the Charlotte colored jacket on. Mm-hmm. So that's the theme behind this.
Yep.
Right. So a little nostalgia there for him and the family.
Everyone seen that photo? Little young, cute Steph Curry got his little windbreaker on. It's kind of fresh.
Exactly.
It's real nice.
Yep. That's the pair. So that's the whole theme behind it. It's got the little zipper in the back. So really, really dope there. So that's one of my favorite point guards in the league. We're going to go to one of my other favorite point guards in the league, and that's none other than Jersey's own.
Kyrie Irving. I mean, he's nice with it.
So, you know, much love to Kai. Get well soon.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? That was a nasty fall yesterday. I got my feelings on that, but I'll keep it to a minimum.
No, tell me. It was dirty, huh? You thought Giannis kind of undercut him a little bit, huh?
He had no reason to be there. Why are you boxing somebody out in midair?
Listen,
why are you in someone's landing space?
I have no argument here. So, not arguing.
Dirty? I don't know. I can't speak for intent.
Right.
But I do know it was avoidable.
Right. There's no need for that. Right. Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
So, that's my feelings. He's going to be out a minute. That I've done that many a time.
Mm-hmm.
So I know the pain. I know the struggle. Mm-hmm. And I know the recovery time. And mm-hmm. even with treatment and everything else that the league has.
Yeah.
That's going to be a minute.
It's going to be a little while. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yep. Be hard to step it up.
Mm-hmm.
But these are one of one custom done with my homie, Andrew Lewis. So Andrew TL on the gram, he's done shoes for a lot of NBA players, most notably Langston Galloway. So he's done a lot of pairs for him. I think the 2019 season, every pair that Langston had was a custom by him. So he and I designed these. These are all different Kyrie 1 colorways that released and samples.
Love it.
Just makes it really, really unique. These are worn. These still worn quite a bit. But yeah, one of one there. And then my other Kyrie that I'll show is another sample. This is a the Taco player edition.
Yep.
This one is special because there was a PE Rock by Caris LeVert, but it wasn't this one. Not even 100% sure if Kai still has this. But this is all 3M. So Gabby, as you know, and Gerardo, as you know, like you can't have anything that's shiny on the court,
right?
For photography purposes and whatnot. So this pair was never and cannot be worn on court, but this was the sample player edition pair.
I love it, man.
Original release of the Taco. So
yep.
Sample GR.
Listen, the Kyrie is such the Kyrie silhouette is extremely popular, and people who love sneakers love it. It's consistent. You know what you're getting. Like, and I like the shoe myself. It's just a nice shoe. I like those, man.
Yeah. You had to support, you know, Kai from the jump, man. That's Jersey right there. So even though, you know, he's a Duke Blue Devil, you know, he never played Carolina. That's my defense.
That's true. It's true.
But only two Duke players that I've ever had love for like that would be Jason Williams mm-hmm. of ESPN now.
Mm-hmm.
Go Falcons, St. Joe's, mm-hmm. alma mater.
That's right. Oh, is that where you
and,
at?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And Kyrie.
Nice. Look at you, St. Joseph Metuchen. Oh my God. I knew a lot of kids that went there. Nice, sure. Man. Look at that. And Kyrie, you know, this dude, talk about an artist, man. Like the handles are just sick, but it's also just like his knowledge of the game, right? His finishing ability, the opposite leg. Like, I'm like, dude, like why? Like, you know, people talk about, like, dudes that go in their bag. That dude's bag is, like, ridiculous what he pulls out, right? Like, and when you see him in contrast to other players, I ain't going to name no names and put anybody on blast, and their lack of skill, right? It's just so like, man, this dude is special, boy. Like, he can really do it. So anyway, yes, as you mentioned earlier, speedy recoveries to Kai. Hopes he gets better soon, and the Nets are still playing. Well, folks, that was another rousing edition of Shoe and Tell, America's favorite segment. Maul, that was dope, man. Thank you. Tell the people where they can find you.
So you can find me on all forms of social media, IG, TikTok, Twitter, at Mauly Maul. You can catch me every Monday, Eastern Standard Time, live on the Monday Midsole on YouTube. I have my own YouTube channel as well, Mauly Maul, so go check it out.
I love it, man. And folks, that was another episode of the Kicks and Shit Show. You know where to find us. We're part of that Count the Dings family. So it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, YouTube. You know, we're on the docket with Woke Bros, with Crazy Sexy Cool, with Growing Up the Same, with the Rap Names Podcast, all those, and us. And you know where to find Gabby and I, at Kicks and Shit Show on all social media platforms, not TikTok, because she won't let us. Until next time, peace.
Why are you going to get me dirty like that?